This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everybody and welcome to a special bonus episode of the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel Abraham, joined by David McDonald, and we are very lucky to be joined by the great Rocky Romero. Rocky, it's a pleasure and a privilege to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate you having me. It's wonderful to be here.
So 2020 has obviously been a crazy year for most of us. I'm sure it's no different for you. So what is life like for Rocky Romero these days?
Very, very busy. Busier than usual, to be honest. I mean, usually I'm busy with like wrestling, but not as much wrestling, you know, going on, obviously, but still with the podcast stuff and, you know, still doing stuff for New Japan here and there. And, you know, we still have New Japan Strong that we're doing and taping. So, extremely busy. I remember the days, the fond days of, you know, the beginning of the pandemic where the world was at a standstill and all I had to do was just wake up and do nothing. I miss those days.
So we've got a big event coming up this week. We've got Talking Shop and Mania 2, Rise of the Torturer, coming up this Friday, 30th of November. So for those listeners who are in the dark, could you please tell us about what you and the Good Brothers have planned for this show and how people can check it out?
Sorry, my dogs might be barking because they got bones. Yeah, they're just they're little punks when they know when I'm doing something important, you know, so they like to let themselves be known. But Talking Shop of Mania is a zany pay-per-view idea that Luke Doc Gallows came up with. When the guys got let go from WWE, basically Gallows called us both and was like, you know, I got this amazing idea. You know, we obviously can't wrestle in front of fans, but I have this crazy pay-per-view idea that if we put on some bad wrestling and, you know, things that are within our humor and just kind of something that's fun and crazy with, you know, all our friends and, you know, people that we know and contacts through the professional wrestling world, if we bring them all to my backyard, film this weird pay-per-view that maybe people will think it's funny. And much to our surprise, they did. And now here we are, you know, successful enough to do another one. And here we are, you know, we're about to do Talking Shop of Mania 2, Rise of the Torture. And this one is far better, far worse, far greater, far more expensive than the one previous. So I'm really excited for the world to see it. I hope that it'll, you know, get people to watch and something that's very fun and crazy and just unique. You know, it's a very unique pay-per-view idea and a very unique, this time it's more of like we're weaving a story together. So, you know, if we can get through this one and hopefully it does well enough, we'll do the trilogy at least. And, the third one is even more crazy and more interesting and more, you know, the storyline is pretty out there, but, you know, that's just a fun pay-per-view, man. I mean, it's really just an extension of our podcast Talking Shop and the extension of, kind of our crazy humor and more Gallows and Anderson's crazy humor than probably mine, but yeah.
Now, and this is Damon Rock. When they came to you, was there a specific thing that kind of triggered these ideas to have happen, or was it just a situation of, look, I have this wacky idea, do you want to do this?
I mean, I think it was like kids, calm down. definitely it had to do with them getting released the way that they did, right? And then also on top of that, them, you know, maybe not being able to do exactly what they wanted the last couple of years in their run at WWE, right? You know, being pigeonholed creatively, you know, so I feel like it was definitely an extension of them and that. And then me, you know, on the other hand, you know, I just like the challenge of doing something unique and different. I've never put on a pay-per-view, you know, never done anything like this, quite like this. So this is another chance to be, you know, to write and be creative and do something, you know, outside of the the box and the norm, you know, which is really cool. And I don't think this would have happened if it wasn't the circumstances that the world are in during, you know, this global pandemic. Then I don't think we would have had the opportunity to do it and then B, kind of not being able to, you know, we would have maybe done it in front of fans, let's just say, and it would be a completely different concept, you know? So I feel like, you know, just kind of blessed with the, you know, this, that this opportunity presented itself and we kind of took advantage of it and just, you know, hit the ground running.
Right. I was going to ask, I mean, do you think just the way the pro wrestling landscape has changed in, say, like the past 3 or 5 years, do you think you would have been able to pull off something like this, say, 3 years ago?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. And, you know, I mean, you look at the cinematic match that we did, the Boneyard match, right? Which is stupid to say anyway, but like, right. Yeah. But, you know, if it wasn't for like, you know, the Matt Hardy stuff, you know, years ago with the, you know, deletion stuff and then obviously the pandemic, then Taker and AJ doing the Boneyard match, you know, in the way that they did it, you know, so then I don't think any of this would have been possible, right? If it wasn't for all kind of those elements on top of it. So, excuse me. I feel like, like we wouldn't have been inspired to do it the way we did. And obviously, the way we shot it too, you know, and then spoofing the Boneyard match, of course, was a major part of the success of the first one. So, you know, it wouldn't have happened if any of this ever happened, you know.
Again, we're talking with Rocky Romero, talking shop a Mania 2 Friday, November 13th, this Friday on Fight TV.
Correct.
Excellent. All right, Joel.
Well, just for a bit of context, Shakespeare wrote King Lear during the plague. So maybe the great work emerging from this pandemic could be talking shop a Mania. So
is that legit?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I wish I would have known that. That's like the perfect way to sell this thing.
you can have that one for free.
Thank you.
What's the feedback been like from other wrestlers? Have you got line around the block of people wanting in?
Yes, unfortunately, yes. I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, like after the first one, there were so many wrestlers that reached out and were like, dude, if you guys end up doing this again, we want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of it. Guys like, you know, Shane Hurricane Helms, who has a great cameo appearance in this Friday's Talking Shop Mania 2. And obviously he's a guy that you want to be a part of that. He's hilarious. He's one of the funniest people I know. And he's, you know, extremely creative and everything that he does it, you know, with so much charisma, you know? So yeah, there's quite a few wrestlers who, and then there was some wrestlers that didn't know about it or what it was, like guys like Virgil, AKA Vincent, who had no idea what it was, who I guess found out later that talking to Tommy Dreamer that he thought he was getting booked for AEW because it was on a Tuesday that we filmed it. So he thought he was coming in for AEW on Wednesday and, was probably extremely surprised when he showed up at Gallows's house and then was like, there's a ring in the front yard. And he's probably like, what the hell is this? You know,
he was looking for breadsticks. Let's be honest.
He may or may not have got some.
Nice.
Do you think that the comedy element of pro wrestling is underappreciated these days?
I mean, I think I think it's an essential part of the show, you know, overall, right? Like even you look at like a New Japan card and that's an important element, right? Because you can't have every match where just like everybody's just beating the crap out of each other, and plus it's, you got to make that match be important, right? Like you can't have Shizuki versus Shingo every time, even though how awesome it is, but you know, you can't have 5 or 6 matches of like that back to back, right? That gets a little old. So you got to have a Yano match in there. You know, you got to have that somewhat of a, you know, comedic relief somewhere in there. I think it's a little harder to do it these days, not having the audience be so interactive with it and kind of, you know, laughing along with you. Cause sometimes, you know, if you do it in front of no fans or fans that can't really applaud or won't clap or anything, then it makes it harder to do the comedic stuff. But I think it's such an essential part of the overall show and the overall event that it is a very necessary part to any professional wrestling.
Right. Now this is Talking Shop a Mania 2. So I am sure, and you may not, you can change the names, you know, we protect the innocent, but Can you share with us a story, an idea that didn't make it and better judgment prevailed?
Oh, my dogs are really upset right now.
We have our cats that make appearances as well, as you all know.
Come on, guys. That's
it. We've had cat run-ins. We've had baby run-ins. So
sorry about that. Let me think. Anything that, to be honest, all the ideas are bad or good. We still put them in. We try everything, you know, unless there's something that really we think that it's time to edit something out for like a reasons of like, you know, we don't want to piss too many people off type of thing. But there's a lot that's going on in this one. There's murder, there's comedy, there's there might be people taking certain enhancements during it. there's a bazooka. There's a lot that's going on. I mean, we really pushed the envelope. I think going back to cinematic wise, I think Chico El Luchador versus Chavo Guerrero Jr. is probably the craziest cinematic piece you'll ever see. And it definitely pushes the boundaries of what, you know, wrestling knows as a cinematic match. So, I mean, that's kind of where I want to go with Talking Shop and Mania 3. If we'll ever be so gracious to hopefully do it. That's where I think where it would need to go, you know?
Right. Now you opened the show here just to switch gears a little bit. You talked a little bit about being really busy and doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes for not only this show, but for New Japan and Strong. Talk a little bit about that, like that transition for yourself and your career, kind of doing a little bit more behind the scenes, specifically for New Japan.
I guess I'm somewhat of a talent scout, you know, looking for, you know, the next gen and the next, maybe possible young lion, you know. Really, it's up to Shibata he handles the hard job of training people and getting them, you know, physically ready for the New Japan style and the New Japan ring. But I've been helpful in trying to help find that next generation. So it's great. You know, it's very rewarding to be a part of something like that. And having you're trying to have your finger on the pulse is the most important part and the most important piece of it. And definitely with New Japan Strong, a lot of people that I've suggested have been able to get on the show, you know, guys like Blake Christian and Danny Limelight and a bunch of others. So I feel like, I think it's one thing about Strong that's cool is you don't really know who's going to show up, really, you know, like, and I think there's a wider array of people that you wouldn't have normally show up in a New Japan Japanese show, right? Because obviously, you know, it's a different commitment to that. And that's kind of like, the main flagship product. But, being kind of the almost like an NXT, I guess, like a subsidiary product to the flagship, it's kind of cool to have different people and kind of like, it's not New Japan Strong, but the Super J Cup coming up is kind of an extension of like the US brand or whatever. So it's really cool to have somebody like Chris Bay, who's an Impact wrestler through and through, completely contracted Impact wrestler, to have him be a part of it. And then having Ray Horace, who's an ROH wrestler, completely contracted ROH wrestler, having him be a part of it. And then, you know, our crew, you know, Clark Connors representing the dojo and, you know, Bullet Club, ELP, and, you know, whoever else is on that card. I mean, so I think that's pretty, pretty cool. But I mean, obviously it's not exactly the same, but it's an extension of, I guess, Strong in a way. So I don't know. It's cool to just be a part of it and kind of see New Japan grow as much as it has over the last, you know, 5 years, you know, it's been crazy. So I'm glad and New Japan's my home. I'm glad to be, to be able to just try to help this thing grow as much as I can and help out where I can, you know, whether, you know, if it's commentary or, you know, helping to find talent or, you know, whatever I can do, I want to help and see this product grow. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't necessarily want to go and work for like a WWE or something like that. Like, that just doesn't really interest me. I'd rather be a part of the, the underdog and the, being a bigger fish in a smaller pond than just, you know, being a part of this massive conglomerate and just kind of, you know, unhappy, you know, right. or not being, you know, in control of like the little things that matter, like, you know, you're wrestling, you know, that, I mean, that's important. Right. So like not being stopped to do creative things outside of the company, you know, like nobody's stopping me to say, hey, you can't do Talking Shop of Mania, you know, you can't have a podcast, you know, you can't be on whatever, you know, so you can have a YouTube. I mean, it's like, you know, we're in the end, you know, we're wrestlers or performers or entertainers, we're, you know, athletes, and we have other interests, you know? So I feel like, you know, if I want to game, I should be able to game in front of people. And if they want to pay me for it, why not? You know? So, so I just feel fortunate to be working for, you know, such a great company and a company who cares about the fans, like a lot, cares about the product, like a lot, cares about the details and the people who are involved and all the little things that would make New Japan Pro Wrestling fucking awesome, you know?
So you've laid out a lot of the positives there of producing a show like New Japan Strong. What have been some of the struggles of doing it?
Pandemic, you know? I mean, doing a professional wrestling event is already hard enough, you know? I would imagine, you know? So it's like doing this during a pandemic is harder, you know, obviously making sure that everybody's healthy, that's the priority, you know, overall anything, you know, so making sure that everybody's tested right and tests are good and getting there and make sure that everybody's tested again. And, you know, when people go home, making sure that everybody's safe and their families are safe. I mean, that's the biggest probably worry, about doing any of these events, you know, whether they be in Japan or they be in America. So, that's probably the hardest thing by far.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy slab packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs. And it ends up being, you know, almost nothing. You know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Door is unlocked, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is EUFY Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Secondary is just like figuring out who's going to be a part of it and the crew. You know, I can't imagine that's an easy task, especially when you're running two simultaneous shows or two simultaneous, you know, events or whatever in two different countries. Just trying to figure out who's going to be where, and you know, that's definitely got to be an issue. But I guess overall, just dude, we're running. You know, we're trying to keep this thing going, keep strong going, and Obviously, I'd love to see Strong continue to grow on a Western platform, you know, whether if they found a home on cable or, you know, satellite or something. I think that'd be really, really cool to see that kind of, since it's more in the way that you present it, a traditional kind of Western show, you know, it would be cool to see that kind of go to the next step, you know?
Yeah. And as fans, we like to see young up and coming wrestlers and hitch our wagon to them and watch their development throughout their career. And you mentioned a couple of guys like Blake Christian, Danny Limelight. Who's impressed you the most throughout your time working on Strong?
Probably Clark Connors the most, to be honest. I just think that this year, Clark has really just, you know, broken through, I think, in a way that, connecting with the audience, B, his matches are just really on another level. His intensity, you know, his character, like he's really just grown up so much. And a part of this, you know, not just kind of, you know, Shibata giving him the base for it, you know, and then him kind of figuring it out himself. So I think he's grown so much. I think that Lions Break Crown tournament was really cool. That was on Strong, and I really liked the match between him and Danny Limelight, the finals. And I think he was the guy who deserved to win it, you know, for sure. I think he's worked hard. He's definitely ready, I think, to step up into the next level, you know.
Yeah, we're talking with Rocky Romero. He's got Talking Shop of Mania 2. It's Friday, this Friday, November 13th, 10 p.m., Fight TV. While you were away, there was a change in leadership in New Japan, and Harold May had stepped down, or however you want to look at it. How was your relationship with Harold, and what changes are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, my relationship with Harold was great. You know, he was always very supportive, someone who, you know, really loved and believed in the product. And, you know, his probably biggest idea would obviously have been the success of the Tokyo Dome earlier this year, 2 days, you know, over 70,000 fans. And, you know, I will, you know, I guess I enjoyed very much, you know, you working with him. Changes for the future. You know, I think there's get, you know, this is just me, but I think there needs to be some kind of adaptation when it comes to maybe like, you know, TV product and thinking kind of in the future, and that you see like, you know, WWE being able to earn so many millions of dollars with just, you know, sending the same product to different countries. I feel like that would probably be the next step for New Japan to really focus in and hone in on, you know, extending the product in as many ways, especially the flagship show, like the World Pro Wrestling Show, really sending that. I mean, that should be in the UK, that should be in Canada, that should be in the US, that could be in Germany. I mean, there's so many wrestling places that I think it could appeal to different types of fans. So I guess that would be the main thing that I hope would change. And then of course, just continuing to make New Japan World strong, you know, like really, you know, pushing that, you know, and really making it easy and accessible for people outside of Japan.
Right. We get questions all the time, Rocky, as I'm sure you probably do as well, talking about that forbidden door between New Japan and All Elite Wrestling. And sometimes it can get a little troublesome and a little tiring. But you even mentioned the Super J-Cup. And we had talked about this on the show recently, how it really feels like a Super J-Cup from old with different promotions coming in. And you mentioned Chris Bay. What are your feelings about a relationship with Impact Wrestling and what that might mean for both companies?
I think they've got, you know, I mean, talent. I mean, really, I guess the way that I could only really look at it was, you know, they have some really interesting talent, young talent, obviously Gallows and Anderson being a part of that, you know, and being signed with Impact would be a huge plus to working with them if you know, to get them over to Japan at some point. Then I think they're just, you know, they've really worked hard on improving their product and really finding their own voice, you know, with their product, because I think that there was a while there they didn't know what their voice was exactly. You know, especially once you took, you know, AJ out and Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, you know, so I think they kind of floated around trying to figuring out what their product was going to be. And I think they've got a better definitive idea of what it is. And the shows are pretty good. You know, they're actually really good. So I think that there's some benefit in there. Obviously, their parent company owns Access TV, where, you know, we were a staple on Access for many, many years. So, I mean, you know, that audience already knows in New Japan, you know, and our product. And there's a bunch of wrestlers that are, you know, that I think are really talented. Like, I think the North is talented. I think Chris Bay is talented. You know, I like the Rascals a lot. You know, and they're another group that I think now has, you know, has a good finger on the pulse as well, you know? So I feel like, you know, there could be some relationship of friendliness, I should say. I don't want to say relationship. I should say like friendliness, you know, in the fact of like, why can't Chris Bay be a part of the New Japan Cup if he's extremely qualified Super J Cup to be, you know, if he's extremely qualified to do so, you know, or if they have like an X Division Cup, you know, why can't I go over and wrestle for it, or say, you know, Phantasmo, right? You know, I don't know, you know, Robbie Eagles or somebody like that, you know, who would do great in something like that. So I think that there's some room there. You know, I don't know if truly New Japan needs to be partners with anybody, you know what I'm saying? Like to that extent. But I think that going forward, it's important for some of these wrestling companies outside of WWE to be friendly with each other. And especially in the world that we're living with pandemics where we can't have, you know, 10,000 seat buildings, you know, or whatever, you know, in the US, we can't promote an MSG card, you know? So why not, you know, do the next best thing and, you know, have pay-per-view events or have specials or whatever, where like we support each other in some kind of way, if it's sending a guy or selling to maybe doing a tag match or something, you know, I mean, I think that that's very possible. And I think that that's, we'll kind of keep business going until we can go back to having these days of, you know, a full sold out, you know, MSG, you know.
Let's talk about your in-ring action, because, you know, you've got a really great reputation among fans for being able to not only put on great performances, like, for example, that famous match you had at Corcoran Hall during last year's Best of the Super Juniors against El Fantasmo, but also helping younger talent look good when they're opposite you in the ring. So do you get more enjoyment in the glory of a big win or making others look good?
It's a good question. I mean, it kind of depends on the situation, but I think for so many years, I've tried to, well, I would say so for most of my career, I've always tried to put the emphasis on my opponent, right? Or my partner, whoever, however you want to say it. So it's kind of nice every once in a while to get, you know, the accolades, everyone, you know, that come along with it, you know, and the, just the feel good, you know, especially if the story's right. And like last year with Fantasmo, it was very meaningful in so many ways, right? Like true goal of being, you know, at the top of the card, the main event in a Corican and a sold out Corican in a Best of the Super Junior, because, you know, it's been years to have an opportunity like that. And then not to have to share, you know, not sharing the spotlight with, you know, three or four other people, you know, because we did it with the, you know, Kozlov and I in the Bucks, and, you know, Trent and I, and I think the Bucks, Trent and I, you know, with a couple other teams. So it kind of just having that weight is nice sometimes as a professional wrestler, because you need to have that challenge, you know, you need to have those butterflies, you know, because sometimes it's easy to just kind of get complacent, I guess, in a way, or just kind of, you know, if the focus, obviously the focus is always on so many other people that, you know, I'm just, sometimes I can just be a cog in the wheel, you know, if on a six man, you know, when you're, you know, with Okada or, you know, Ishii, and then you're going against, you know, Naito, Sonata and Hiromu, it's like, what is Rocky really going to take out of this? You know what I'm saying? So to kind of like get the moment where it's like, it's on you to make the crowd happy and send the fans home happy and make them feel like, you know, the 30, 40 bucks or whatever, $100 that they spent on their ticket was worthwhile, or your $10 subscription to New Japan World. I want to pull my weight too, you know, so it feels good, you know?
Yeah. And you've mentioned a lot of the great tag teams you've been involved in over the years with, you know, guys like David Richards, Kozlov, Trent, Taguchi. Going to put you on the spot here. Who's your favorite tag partner? And don't worry, because they probably won't be listening to this, so you're safe.
Recently, Taguchi, man, I a lot of really good, fun chemistry, and kind of being able to be serious, right? Because like that's the kind of the great thing about Taguchi, and I think and I, we have very complementing personalities, and the fact that like we can be serious when it matters, but we can also be like kind of funny and just do it in a way that's not linear, you know, like going askew and trying a different kind of idea out, or a different kind of like our tag team maneuvers is like, you know, I throw people into his butt, you know, like that's our big move, you know, or I'll slingshot somebody into his butt. I mean, like, and that gets the same reaction as like a doomsday, you know, dropkick or something, you know, like, so, or something crazy, you know? So like, I think that that's just very awesome that our personalities can build up our tag team moves, or, you know, as opposed to just doing the moves, you know? So I think that's just a really unique and really awesome way to have a tag team wrestle. That's different than, you know, Sho and Yo, it's different than Hiromu and Bushi. You know, so I think throwing us into that mix is, and it's fun. It doesn't feel like, it feels organic to wrestle with Taguchi, you know, if it really does. And that, maybe that's just because I've wrestled against him for so many years and been opposite him for, you know, a long time that, you know, I do know him so well. So, and he trusts me to come up with ideas, and I trust him to put his own spin on things and come up with ideas. And I know it's very complimenting, and I enjoy working with him. And then on the other side of that, I mean, Trent and I think did some really, really awesome work, you know, over the years, and especially during the years where, you know, people were getting introduced to New Japan for the first time. I thought we always really showed up and had some really amazing matches with the Bucks. And it's an important part of my career. And I'm very fond of those memories.
Last question for me, Rocky. And it's a little bit off the track, so I need to know, how well do you know Mamrie Hart? And when can we expect Rocky Romero on her podcast? And
yeah, that's funny.
Can you do a little meetup on the Super J Cast?
That would be awesome. Has she been on before?
No, I met her once. Okay. I met her once, like just briefly. But every time she's in Japan, it's right before Wrestle Kingdom when we go over.
Right. Yeah.
So I just miss her, and my wife's a huge fan.
Oh, so, yeah. She's so cool. Hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah, we just kind of started following each other online, and then she came to a New Japan show, and she was trying to get tickets. She couldn't get tickets, and she reached out through, I think, like Ron Funches or something, and Funches hit me up and was like, "Hey, my friend Mamrie, she'd never been to a live New Japan show. She's hoping to come through." So I was able to pull some strings, and I got her in, and then we've just been like, you know, really cool ever since. And last time she was in Japan, we went out and had a couple of drinks and had a good time, and we're up way too late. But she's super cool. I would actually would like to bring her on Talking Shop, because I think, you know, we don't get to have enough female energy, I feel like, and we need to have more of it. And I obviously, she's hilarious, and she she does so well with her podcast and her YouTube. I think it was, and she's so knowledgeable when it comes to wrestling. So I think it would be a fun, and she loves to drink,
right,
and make drinks. So it's like, she fits in with the Talking Shop crew like perfectly. So yeah, I'd love to see her come on the show or us go on her show. I probably should have reached out to her before Talking Shop and Mania. I didn't even think about it, but yeah, I mean, 100%, we love Mamrie over here.
Well, there's still time to reach out. Again, we're looking at this Friday. It's Talking Shop. Talking Shop Mania 2. You know the first one. You enjoyed it so much. They're doing another one. It's Friday. It's November 13th. It's 10 p.m. You can catch it on Fight TV.
Yep, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. It's only $14.99. So, I mean, that's like a couple of trips to Starbucks, you know, like maybe two trips, you know, so depending on what you're getting. So, you know, it's not going to break the bank. I promise you, you will laugh your ass off. And if you don't come looking for a refund, because you cannot get a refund. But maybe for the next one, you know, we'll throw you a bone or something. You know, I don't know.
Well, you'll figure it out, I'm sure.
We'll figure it out. Take it up with Gallows if you have a problem. Take it up with Gallows.
Rocky, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been great talking to you. Anything else you want to plug before we go?
Yeah. Obviously, NJPWWorld.com every Friday night, New Japan Strong, 10 p.m., 7 p.m. Eastern, same time slot as Talking Shop this week. So, you know, you can warm up with Strong and then hop right into the good times over at Talking Shop and Mania on Fight TV. Everything Talking Shop, check out TNSmania.com. We've got all the different projects and things that we're working on there, at The Real Gimmicks on Instagram. That's our animated series that we're working on. And, thank you for supporting RockyRomeroMerch.com, and, hope to see y'all soon.
Thanks, Rocky. We appreciate it. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you.
Take care.